You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, November the 29th, 2022. Thank you for joining us. We are live streaming right now at rumble.com. Simply go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors, USA for the search. One word, takes you right in the studio. Glad to have you join us, or watch it later at your pleasure. And, of course, all programs are also posted later as a podcast at larryconnorsusa.com. It's not hard to find me. Larry Connors, USA. That's all you need to remember. So let's take a look at news and commentary. And we stress this is news and commentary. It's no longer me being just a news anchor, as I did for decades, giving you the straight, narrow facts and sticking to the facts, not putting my opinion and so forth in, as today's so-called news anchors often do. They're not as much, though, I will point out, in local news. I want to give them credit. Generally, they do a better job of being fair. It's the other guys, the state-controlled media. You know the ones I'm talking about. So today, Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican of California, was really upset with what Biden just did with Venezuela. We need more oil and gas in this country. We have it, but he will not allow the drilling for oil and gas in our country. He shut down the Keystone Pipeline. First act he did, mark that thing right off the box. Take it off by executive order. And now he's going to go to Venezuela and buy who knows how much through Chevron, seeing Chevron down there with the permission to bring oil and gas to us. It's the dirtiest refining processes they have in that area, anywhere in the world, basically. I shouldn't say anywhere, but pretty much. But we don't know yet how much we're going to be paying for it. But it's going to be a lot, and it's going to a communist country. And we're doing it with the prospect that maybe Maduro, the dictator, will become a nice guy and begin to give food to his starving people again. Maybe. Congressman Issa said that is absolutely backwards. Why would we do this on a vague promise they might do something for free and fair election 6 or 8, 9 months down when they get all their money from exporting oil? You take a bet? Are you a betting person? Even if you're not, let me give you a safe bet. They're not going to do it. And here's something you should hear, and they're trying to put the best look on it. The CEO of one of the nation's largest banks, CEO of Bank America, said in an exclusive interview today, said there's a lot of uncertainty in the global economy. The U.S. freight railroad strike coming, of course, possibly in a week or so. Russia's war with Ukraine. COVID shutdowns in China. We're going to talk about that more. But he also said, you know, the worst fears might not materialize thanks to the resilience of American shoppers. In other words, you just keep spending it. Because the government's sending you checks, yeah, you probably will. But it's not going as far, is it? There's a Phillips Academy poll saying that Herschel Walker is leading Senator Warnock in that upcoming Senate runoff, but only by 1 point. The margin of error is 3. They're 5% undecided. So that is totally screwed up poll. In the meantime, Warnock's church, which owns a tower at MLK Village in Atlanta, decided to cancel the eviction of one tenant because he's a Vietnam War veteran, thought, well, let's hold off till after the election. The White House is finally reacting to news of widespread protests of coronavirus lockdowns in China, issuing a mild statement supporting peaceful protest. People are dying, are being rounded up, sent off to camps never to be seen again, and the Biden administration saying, Well, we want them to have the right to peacefully protest. By the way, Chinese bots are now spamming Twitter with posts because they don't want you to be seeing all these protests over there. They're spamming putting up porn and escorts in place of video from China of that. Yeah, that's going to get an audience. And then we got the World Cup chief saying between 400 and 500 migrant workers have died as a result of the work done on projects connected to the World Cup tournament. 400 to 500 migrant workers, because there really was no safety in place, and they were using them pretty much as slave labor in Qatar. How are you enjoying your World Cup now?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We had to cut that hearing short. We were supposed to do two rounds of questions. You said you had to be somewhere, so we cut it short. Republicans were not able to ask a second round as we had been informed we would. The press reported shortly thereafter that the reason that the hearing had to be cut short is because you were flying on a Gulfstream jet for a personal vacation in the Adirondacks. Please tell me that's not accurate.
Tell me that's not accurate. That is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri raising a question of FBI Director Christopher Wray. Now, do you remember the hearing of what he was referring to? Because that hearing, we were all interested in see what was going to be said about investigating and what we're going to learn and what's good and what's bad and how people have been treated or mistreated by the FBI. And so they were holding this hearing at the time, but Wray had made it clear originally that he would be there for the whole hearing. Then suddenly, I have a pressing engagement, so I may have to leave early. This was August 4, by the way. August 4. He said, we were told you had something, and then I found out later, according to press reports, you were going on vacation. Please tell me that's not true. Seriously? Let's go back to Senator Hawley as he continues his questioning.
Please tell me that's not accurate.
Senator, the hearing was not cut short from my experience. We had agreed beforehand on the time and length of it. And I was very surprised to find that any member on the committee was surprised. As to how I fly, I am required not only permitted but required to fly on an FBI plane wherever I go.
That's so you were going on vacation?
I was, yes.
So you left a statutorily required oversight hearing in order to go on a personal vacation to the Adirondacks?
I took a flight to go visit my family, as had been previously arranged.
Yeah. Well, we all can understand that. And I'm all about family first. I really am. And if you have reservations on a commercial airliner, they're not going to hold the plane for you until you get there. And if you're going with your family and it's your family, then I would request in advance, say, can we either cut it short or can we pick it up another time because this is already on the books. And if I were a member of the Senate or the House and you were appearing before me, I'd say, we'll work it out for you because I'm going to family first. Unless I find that you're lying to me. Because the way Ray had posted it and suggested to the committee, I really have pressing business, I can't stay. But he's flying on a private government jet, which again, in case you missed the first hour, the opening monologue, I pointed out, I got the same answer when I was interviewing President Obama and saying, you know, a lot of folks see, you know, you and I think I began it this way. I could have pulled up the clip. It's still available on YouTube. Larry Connors, Obama interview, it's still there. But I kind of said, I'd done several other questions, and I kind of had this question. It wasn't supposed to be a gotcha question. It wasn't anything new that someone else couldn't have asked. They just didn't have the gonads to do it in D.C. So I said, you know, we have a lot of American people suffering right now. They're still trying to come out 2008. Everything's upside down. They barely have enough money. They can't even take their kids to an amusement park. And he nodded, all in agreement. Yes, yeah, I agree. It's a shame. And then I said, and then they see you and the first family jetting all over the world under color of state flag. In other words, because you have to go do some kind of state business. And you took not just Michelle, but the kids and grandma to babysit or whatever she was doing. And on one hand, I don't care. It didn't add any difference to the flight as far as expense or anything else. But when I pointed that out, he just started looking at me kind of, you know, like, where's this going? I said, and a lot of people see you doing that, and they think you're out of touch. Whoop, that was it. Interview's pretty much over. His answer, though, that he came back with was, as a president, I have to fly on Air Force One. That wasn't my question. That was my question. I want my president on Air Force One. I want him to be where he's safest and where he has communications he needs. It was the perspective and the timing and how everyone else in the country was suffering at the time. And here we have Christopher Wray. He's FBI director. Again, he needs to be in a secure plane and have full access to everything. I don't know what all they had on there that would have made it any more secure than a smaller Gulfstream or a Citation jet or any other kind of jet. You know, a Gulfstream 5 has a maximum capacity, subject headwinds, high altitude, and I don't know all this, but I'm reading it to you, of 6,800 miles. So they didn't need something to go that far to go simply to the Adirondacks from D.C. Maximum speed, 560 miles an hour. Now, there are other Gulf Streams, 4, 5, 6, there's a 7 out now. The cost of the Gulfstream 5 is about $61 million, depending on how it's put together. The operating cost, well, again, you get into some different questions in as to how much you're going to be spending on getting around and, you know, what kind of weather and things of this nature. But the average price for a pre-owned Gulfstream is around $40 million. You want to equate it? They've done it for you already. You could get one. You'd have a $21 million loan over 120 months. Be $88,000 a month in interest. Be about $1 million per period payment. That's what you'd end up paying. But again, this is the FBI director. And I want him in a proper plane to carry out what he wants to do and what he needs to do. But he admitted to Josh Hawley in that interview, in that Senate hearing, August 4, he kind of had some business. Well, he then said, I have a vacation. And there is where Senator Hawley nailed him again.
The ranking member, Chuck Grassley, asked you during the hearing, he said, I assume you must have other business. You said, yes. He then said, if you have a business trip, you've got your own plane, can't it wait a while? He then said, Chuck Grassley, we only just heard half an hour ago that now you have to leave. We were going to have a 7-minute round followed by a 3-minute round. I've got 7 people on my side of the aisle, that included me, who are waiting for this additional round. Is there any reason we can't accommodate them for 21 minutes? And you said you had a plane to catch. You had somewhere to go. And now we find out it was for vacation?
The reference to other business was not a reference to that day. It was a reference to the following week where Senator Grassley and I were going to see each other in Iowa when I had other business in Iowa, and I did, in fact, see him then.
So, wait, you had to leave the hearing early because you're going to see him later in Iowa in a week?
No, I had to leave when I said I was going to have to leave, as had been previously organized with the leadership of the committee.
You left an oversight hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, required by statute, so you could vacation with your family. I find that absolutely unbelievable and, frankly, indefensible.
Indefensible is correct. Well, I was going to meet with Senator Grassley. He's there in the room with you. But I'm going to meet him in a month or a week, whatever the time frame was. This is why some of these whistleblowers have been saying the leadership at the top of the FBI is rotten to the core. And I'm really sorry to hear that. I have to admit, it's just that I'm such a law and order guy, I want to believe the best are serving us. I don't believe that in this case, and I haven't on several other cases as well. Ray was better, in my opinion, than Comey. But now they look like two peas in a pod to me. What about you? And then Hawley went into more detail, as I was giving you some anyway, about the Gulf Stream 5.
You flew in a Gulf Stream 550, I think, that was originally purchased for counterterrorism purposes. You were using it to go to, what is it, Saranac Lake? Is that how I say it? I've never been there. Is that the right pronunciation? Saranac Lake? That was your destination?
Yes.
So, did you enjoy the flight? Did you pay for it?
Yes, I paid for it.
Will you turn over all receipts and reimbursement to this committee?
Senator, we will be happy to comply with oversight requests related to the use of the plane, as I said, and it's important for people to understand.
Will you turn over the receipts for your flight?
I will turn over information related to my use of the plane. The use of the plane, I am required, not just permitted, required, even for personal travel, to use the FBI plane.
How convenient for you.
And I pay every single time that I use the plane for personal
use. I'm glad it's available for you to jet away from your statutorily required hearings and oversight before this Congress, where you denied the ability of members of Congress to ask you questions because you had to go on a personal vacation
to Saranac Lake. I told you a moment ago the Gulfstream can fly something like 6,800 miles without refueling, flying at 600 miles per hour. Did I tell you the difference between and mileage between D.C. and Saranac Lake? It's 526 miles. So they're barely up in the air, reaching altitude, then they're coming back down again. Now, if you drove, it's going to take you 8 hours, but then the Gulfstream 5, you're going to be there in an hour or less easily. I'm not just trying to make an example of how he was avoiding questionings, and if he paid for it, he's going to have to prove it. They're going to have to be bringing up these documents. If they hadn't, he will. And that's not going to be cheap. But it's a matter of showing again of how this agency is being run and has been for some time. For instance, when it came to a way to kind of spread fear, some of these whistleblowers have been coming to Grassley and Senator Johnson and others. Senator Hawley pointed out what we're hearing from them is you guys have an agenda and you're basically trying to scare the American people.
Whistleblowers, field agents have also said that D.C. has ordered the use of SWAT teams on nonviolent suspects who may have attended a January 6th rally, and they have been ordered to conduct surveillance and knock on doors of people who were not even in D.C. on January 6th. And again, all of this, according to the whistleblowers, these are your agents, all of this in order to make it look as if there's a mass surge in domestic terrorism all across the country, when in fact the stats are being padded by political directive in your office.
In other words, there is no mass domestic terrorism. AG Merrick Garland, in his mealy mouth approach, said domestic terrorism, one of the biggest fears we have. The FBI repeated it. And padding their numbers, apparently, based on, according to the whistleblowers. Now, we're going to have to get to the bottom of that and find out, but when they start getting all the testimony lined up, I think that's probably going to be proven. And you know why? Because they figure everyone that is a conservative, they're going to look up as a terrorist. If you're a Democrat, if you're a good, solid Democrat, you don't have to like Trump. You don't have to be independent. You're a good, solid Democrat. But do you believe every conservative around you is a terrorist? Of course you don't. So they're peddling the fear. And they're hoping they'll bicycle it enough around the block that everybody will begin to think, oh, my God, it's like the sound of an ice cream truck coming, but it's terrorists. When we come back, if they're looking for terrorists, if they're looking for crime, isn't there one crime that's been in their face in addition to January 6th, and they just look away?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They also say, these whistleblowers, the D.C. leadership deliberately suppressed investigations into Hunter Biden, contrary to FBI procedure, and have also retaliated against FBI agents and whistleblowers who have contacted Congress, which, by the way, they are protected by statute to do so. This is what's happening at your FBI while you are evading oversight hearings. Mr. Director, do you think you're still up to this job?
I absolutely think I'm still up to this job, and I think our workforce feels the same way.
Well, I don't. And frankly, I think you should have been gone a long time ago. And given your behavior recently, I think it only makes it more clear. Are there any travel plans today that we should be aware of that you have? We're supposed to have a second round. Will you be here for that?
Yes.
Hey, can I have a vote? Yeah, I think you should be gone a long time ago, too. Oh, my God. These people that have that kind of attitude, that are in positions of high authority, are not serving our country. They're serving themselves. When Christopher Wray, the FBI director, decided to skip out of a congressional hearing because he had pressing plans, which ended up being just going on a vacation that's only going to take an hour to fly there, he certainly could have spent another 20 minutes and answered a few more questions. He would have saved himself all this. Now, again, my concern is not just him, but what is really at the heart of the FBI, and it's guys like him right now. We saw it with Comey. We saw it with Agent Smurf. I know, which that's not a name, but I'm going to say it anyway. And all the rest of them that have been all in this Washington lockbox plotting and planning all the way. And, of course, they're all part of the Department of Justice. And over all of that is the Attorney General. And the Attorney General, if you recall, has already implicated. He does the same kind of nonsense these people do, and then he tries to pass the buck. Perfect example. Let's go back to the letter that was sent to the White House, supposedly either the White House first or to A.G. Garland. I forget now what was their latest story. But if you recall, October 4, there was an A.G. memo sent out by the Attorney General's office. And what it claimed in that memo was a flat-out lie, but it was meant to be a propaganda machine, and it was eaten up and recycled and put in the echo chamber by the state-controlled media over and over again. And Congressman Jordan called that out.
Very first sentence. In recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teacher, staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools. When the Attorney General testified, we asked him a simple question. What was the basis for you putting that first sentence in your memorandum? And what did he say? What did he say? He said it was the letter from the National School Boards Association that they have now said we regret and apologize for sending. The letter, as the gentleman from Texas just pointed out, they coordinated with the White House to use the words domestic terrorism in the letter and cite the Patriot Act. That's why we want the correspondence back and forth, in addition to the few emails we've been able to uncover, because it was all coordinated and it was based on that coordinated letter that the Attorney General of the United States writes that first sentence. There was no other evidence. I'm going to take the word of a left-wing political organization that's been in cahoots with the White House to put this together because we think it's going to be to our political advantage. They found out it wasn't, and Glenn Youngkin's now the governor of Virginia because of it. But that's what they did. We want all the communications between the White House, the NSBA, and the Justice Department that put this whole scheme together.
Absolutely. We want to see every bit of it. Because they slandered those parents because they dared stand up and speak out against the woke challenges facing their school, forcing their kids to wear masks when everyone else was doing fine without them. And in fact, I got a study I'm going to share with you before we wrap up today on that. And COVID is one of those things that if you look at China, it's extremely serious, considering their lockdowns. We're going to get into that also. So we still have a lot more to come on today's program. You don't even begin to change that dial. Keep it right where it is.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com as I speak. Now, I also remind you, we've been telling you for days now about all the protests throughout China over the COVID lockdowns. It's been underway for quite some time. It's just been getting bigger and bigger. And police are being told to hunt down the protesters. It's not enough to find them on the site then. They're going to do what they can to kind of like our Democrats with the January 6th thing. If they saw a picture of you anywhere near the Capitol, they may well hunt you down and bring you in for questioning or try to ruin you and your job. Joining us now is a China expert. He focuses on China's domestic policies and foreign policy with the Heritage Foundation. Has lived extensively in both China, Taiwan, fluent and Mandarin, Chinese, and Portuguese. Michael Cunningham, welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Well, I'm very impressed with your fluent in Mandarin, Chinese, and Portuguese. Do you speak Texan?
I do not, unfortunately. That might be next on my list.
All right, we'll have to work together on this. Okay, I'll give you some Texan, and you throw me some Mandarin, we'll figure something out. So before you joined us earlier today, I was pointing out that a lot of these riots now, how this footage is getting out, we'll come to in a moment. But some of the footage has been coming out, been pretty horrific, including a journalist beaten repeatedly and dragged away. But they're now using Chinese bots spamming Twitter with posts primarily showing porn and porn escorts, saying folks will pay more attention to that than watching the riots. That's one way propaganda machine works.
Yeah. I mean, that's a classic way China does it, is try to distract people, flood social media with messages that aren't. Yes, I mean, it's the lazy way out, right? They do not yet have more clever or pointed ways to distract the world. So just flood it with this kind of garbage.
Let me ask your opinion before we get too deep into it. I mean, we already kind of know what's been going on, but the White House, and I'm not asking for a political response from you, I'm looking at a policy issue. The White House reacted to reports of all these. I don't know whether they consider reports are obviously happening. And the statement from the White House National Security Council said, "We've long said everyone has a right to peacefully protest here in the U.S. and around the world. This includes the PRC, which is People's Republic of China." And while releasing that, they said nothing about any efforts to defend the protesters. They've said nothing about doing something for Xi to be held accountable for what happens to these protesters when they disappear. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, Joe Biden, he stated early on that human rights was going to be a focus of his presidency.
His human rights or all human rights?
Yeah, good question, right? Because we don't see it in the statement. You know, here we have the person who's supposed to be the leader of the free world makes a statement about protests in China that sounds like the kind of statement you make when people are protesting against you. You know, appreciate that people have the right to protest everywhere. I mean, that's not how you show that you support people who are standing up, who are putting everything on the line. It is so unheard of to protest against the regime in China because you're literally putting your whole future on the line.
And we've
so
seen
these
it,
brave people.
Yeah, and we've seen it in Russia as well because a lot of the Russian mothers and fathers did not want their sons going off to fight in Ukraine. The White House Strategic Communication Director John Kirby added a little bit more. He said the president's not going to speak for protesters around the world. They're speaking for themselves. And as you said, at the risk of their lives.
Yeah. And so literally, you know, they deserve the support of the free world. Everyone who loves freedom should be raising their voice in support of the Chinese people.
And what about all the woke that says we are a systemically racist country and they don't do anything to call out China and the Uyghur Muslims they have held captive and using as slaves, nor Muslim executions of homosexual LGBTQ? I mean, we're seeing such a upside down world right now.
Yeah, I mean, it really speaks to the hypocrisy of the whole woke movement.
Well, you speak about hypocrisy. Look at COVID itself. I mean, one of my listeners had written in and said, is it possible that maybe they're getting so incensed in China because they're watching the World Cup and everybody at the World Cup is without a mask? They're not wearing masks, and these people still have to wear a mask. Get permission to get in or out. Sometimes their doors are welded shut so they can't leave an area. And then that itself is saying, why are we being held to this standard?
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually what sparked the protests was a fire in Xinjiang province the same place where Muslims are being thrown into concentration camps. But this was, you know, a protest because a fire broke out in an apartment building and killed, the government says 10 people. We don't know how many people died from it. And there's a perception, not confirmed, but a reasonable perception based on past practice of the communist authorities that likely, you know, that the residents were trapped inside because of the lockdown measures. The region had been locked down for over 3 months.
We, of course, all remember Tiananmen Square and the tank and the guy standing in front of it when that went down. But this is just all over right now, and it's a full scale. It's way in this case. Some are even talking about they want the president to resign. I find that almost laughable that they would even think that he would do that.
Yeah. So it is. The comparison to Tiananmen is appropriate because this is the most widespread protest movement directed at the central authorities, at the very top of the Communist Party. But at the same time, we have to remember that this is very different. Currently there are more police than protesters at protest sites. We haven't seen the momentum pick up. In fact, the momentum has collapsed essentially over the past couple days. Now it may pick up over the weekend or in response to other developments, but it is very, they weren't able to get the change they wanted in 1989. And now the Communist Party is much more powerful, still just as brutal as it was. And it's impossible really to get, Xi has consolidated his power to an extent that we haven't seen since Mao Zedong. There would have to be a split in the leadership to result in the kind of change that
and
some
said,
of the protesters.
And with your background, do you see that happening in any way?
Nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. He has cronies or proteges, at least in the vast majority of the seats in the top leadership.
Well, I see that there's a statement from the Global Times quoting Chinese authorities saying that we're optimistic with our policies and that we're going to adjust the measures, and that doesn't mean we're loosening prevention and control, nor is it lifting any restrictions, and we're not giving in to the protesters. It's just that we're reevaluating. Yeah. But they have a zero tolerance policy. If you say zero, zero is the number.
Yeah, so they actually did loosen that policy quite a bit, and it was well intentioned, to be fair to them. But that's one of the things that led to the protest, because in loosening the zero COVID policy, what they ended up doing was, on the one hand, they put more authority in the hands of the local officials, who, you know, they all have orders to keep cases as low as possible, and they've got even more authority to sort of take matters into their own hands to achieve that. At the same time, it also, because it wasn't quite as strict, the number of cases has just multiplied so much in China. And so what it actually resulted in
lockdown
resulted in even more people being affected.
Michael, we're out of time. We're against a hard break. I want to thank you very much, Michael Cunningham with the Heritage, and he's going to learn to speak Texan in the next few months. I'll learn Mandarin, right? Coming up, pharma, big pharma, and the money made off of COVID.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Mustangs have it. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Big Pharma obviously making a lot of money on this, and this is according to Forbes magazine. The pharma industry pays in the form of user fees for FDA drug review 75% of the budget for the FDA to review drugs. That's according to Forbes. 45% of the overall FDA budget. And one investigation showed that 40 of 107 physician advisors on the FDA committees received more than $10,000 in either post hoc earnings or research support from makers of drugs the panels voted to approve or from competing firms. And of course, the part headed by Fauci also accepts donations in addition to that, like a $100 million pledge from Bill Gates. I mean, there's money to be made all over the place over there. Got another story on COVID I want to share with you. But before I do, I want you to think about this. Maybe you'll have the answer before I come back with the story here in a minute. The Biden Energy Department is not saying if it's going to fire a cross-dresser because of what the cross-dresser did. Just think about that for a minute. I'm like, squirrel, I just want that in your mind for a minute. What did the cross-dresser do that the Biden department might fire them? Okay, now back to the COVID. It's my program. I can do what I want as I want. You can also turn the channel, but I pray you don't. So this study out of Sweden, in April 2020, it was reporting on how Sweden had fared during that spring's coronavirus wave, despite bucking the international trend to lock down. Now, again, I cite the date of 2020, but it's been updated now with the 2022 article that came out November 8th. But what they had found in Sweden, you don't have to lock everybody up. And in fact, they decided, according to one of the experts that was overseeing it, I think the difference between countries will be quite small in the end. I don't think you can stop it. It's spreading. It will roll over Europe no matter what you do. And he was almost correct. But the difference in the countries in the end was not quite so small. Sweden did much, much better. 10 times better than Chile. In fact, notorious for having the strictest lockdowns, despite having one of the most successful vaccination campaigns. That was in Chile. And as of the reporting date of July 19, 2022, all the countries analyzed in this, Sweden had the lowest overall cumulative excess death tallies. In other words, fewer deaths in Sweden. Shows out of the population numbers here based on percentages. And number, Sweden 6.7, Norway close behind 6.9, Denmark 12.9, New Zealand 15.5, Iceland 16.8. So, you know, you could say, well, it's just the cold climate. Maybe that helped or didn't. But the other part of this thing that comes to mind here is that the remarkable low COVID deaths related to the rest of the world, also in Canada and Israel. Lower mortality. So Sweden beat their neighbor Norway and is still doing better. And when you look at, plotting excess deaths against vaccinations, excess deaths tapered off, as did vaccinations. Was that a coincidence, I ask? The writer of the article said, I come up with three conclusions. One, COVID exists and is deadly for some. Okay, we all agree with that. Second, experimental attempts at mitigating the spread of the virus is through various social distancing measures, closing schools, businesses, imprisoning healthy people who are healthy and forcing them to wear a mask, basically are futile. And third, the only thing that could have made COVID worse was to put the same people responsible for making it in charge of making the antidote. Yeah, that would be like taking New York Governor Cuomo at the time and telling him to go sit in the death beds he sent the elderly to in the nursing homes. All right, back to the question I left you hanging with. The Department of Energy admits, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. Are we going to fire this person or not? This is a cross-dresser charged with felony theft. Stole a woman's roller bag from the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. He's currently on leave. I say he, it's she, he, Sam, his name's his, her, same name, Sam. Anyway, he grabbed this blue roller bag and its contents worth about $2,300. And they show him ripping the name of the owner from the bag and just walking out with it. He didn't check C for any other bag. He just took that one. It's a really nice-looking piece of luggage. He wanted that. Left the clothes that were in it in a hotel. Didn't have any use for those clothes. Police called him, and he said, oh, I realize I made a mistake. Later, he called police back and said, I just drew it. I took the bag. I was tired. My makeup was smearing. Remember our pledge, one nation. Under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.